about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, boys and girls, thank you very much. Before you go through these gates, you need to know the rules. We're gonna go to the unit, we're gonna remove the lock, we're gonna give you 5 minutes to take a look around. You can't go inside, you can't open any boxes. Who's ever got the most money in their pocket today can certainly own it. Are you ready?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Well, you know, if I knew what you said, I could probably answer you. So I'll say yes, 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 and no.
You're very talented, and I strive to be everything you are.
On the show, you're a dope. Are you really in real life? Because it seems like you're the one causing a lot of the trouble. Am I right about that? Is that perception accurate?
Yes, yes, it is.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
And now,
just because someone has two lumps on their chest, it does not mean that they are obligated to show you them online.
Our feature presentation.
Whoa, whoa, not so fast with the declarations here. Come on.
I see what you did there, Bean, and I don't like it.
What are you talking about, Beer Mug?
The dope on the show clip.
What?
In the open.
You thought that was about you?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Boy, are you paranoid. Boy, are you just seeing problems where there aren't any.
Okay.
Jeez. What's wrong with you, man? You're the only reason people are listening to this Dog and Pony Show. You know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Bean.
How was your holiday weekend?
It was great.
Did you have fun?
Beautiful weather. You know, I have this Volvo S60 I get to drive for like a month.
Lisa's talking about her Volvo.
I am.
And they're probably going to pull the contract if we spend too much time talking about how we all think it's a Volvo every time you say it, right?
It's a Volvo.
They need to hire someone who can properly pronounce the word without confusion.
You're the one that's messing it up. I'm saying it right.
Tell me about your Volvo.
It's just stupid. It goes really, really fast. And it's got a camera in the back, you know, so I don't back up badly anymore in parallel park. But then it's got a camera in the front, too. It's even got a camera so you can see around the cars on either side of you.
Nice.
It's ridiculous. And it's got satellite, and I can play my app, everything. So everywhere we went this weekend, want to go see the Avengers? Yeah, I'll drive. Want to go to the beach? Yeah, I'll drive. Want to go to the park? Yeah, I'll drive. It's just funny.
This sounds like a paid commercial announcement, but the comedy behind the scenes is that every time the sales department comes to us and says, hey, we have a car, I say, I'll do it, because I always want to drive another car.
Right.
Nobody ever lets me, yet they let the girl drive it. What's up with that?
Yeah, this is the second time they've given me a car
to drive.
It doesn't
make any sense that they let the girl drive it and not me.
What did they tell you? You can go to the dealer and take a test drive.
And take a test drive like anyone else.
That's what you heard, yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm Muggs, rubbing it in.
How was your weekend, Muggs?
My weekend didn't go as expected. I was just talking to Omar in the other studio, and he asked me how it was, and I said, well, I didn't really stick to my eating regimen, but
I didn't
do too bad.
You were down to the wire.
I know. I didn't do too bad, but I could have done better. I didn't go. I didn't do like buffalo wings with extra ranch or
what
anything like that.
What did you do?
I had like just a lot of carbs and sugar, which I wanted to X
How
out.
How could you fall apart with 10 days left on the challenge?
It's funny because on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday leading up to the weekend, I went to the gym and I was in the gym for like 3 hours at a time.
You said you might actually meet your goal by Tuesday.
Yeah. Well,
today, right?
Yeah, that got derailed a little bit. I was just, the gym workouts just made me just famished.
Yeah, and Mike says something about that.
And I figured, like, you know, my muscles are still rebuilding. I think I'll be okay if I put a little bit of this junk in my body, but not too much.
Bugs, when someone asks how your weekend is, how does it contribute to the story to say, I was just having the same conversation with Omar when he asked me and here's what I said? How's that part of the story?
That didn't really need to be in there, but, thought I'd give Omar a shout out. You know?
Poor Omar, he's so neglected.
You are the dope. All right, let's start with this story this morning that I love so much. This is a fish story. There was an event happening in Florida, I want to say, the Professional Tarpon Tournament Series. Anyone know what a tarpon is? I assume it's some sort of fish?
It's a fish.
Yeah, I believe it's pronounced tarpon, not to correct you, Bean. And
I don't know. Tarpon, okay.
Yeah, tarpon is a big fish.
This is in Boca Grande Pass in Florida, and it is apparently a big event that they have every year down there with lots of professional fishermen. And this year they decided that they would also invite some wounded warriors to fish with the professionals. Because believe it or not, there are a lot of people who follow fishing, love fishing, love those fishing shows, and it's a big thrill. It'd be like, you know, me being invited to go to a baseball game in uniform, you know. So these wounded warriors are out there, and they're doing some fishing. And something that I've never heard before happened as one of the wounded warriors who has a prosthetic arm lost it while he was trying to bring in a fish.
Oh, no.
Here's his friend talking about it, and then a description from the wounded warrior himself standing there without an arm.
And we watched it happen. It was like, did you see that? His arm's gone.
Yes, you heard that correctly.
I have a special prosthetic that's got different devices I can hook onto it. And all of a sudden, the hand snapped off the prosthetic device, still hooked to the rod. And the rod and the reel and the hand went down the water.
For us, it was funny.
Who's
For
this
us,
guy?
It was funny.
Who's his bud who's just having the time of his life watching his fellow veteran lose an arm while he's trying to fish?
Brutal.
And that was the biggest thing. And he said, we're going to be a legend. You're the only guy that lost an arm out here yesterday.
But unlike most of these fishing stories, this one has a happy ending.
You'll never believe, guys, what happened to the arm as another fisherman reeled it in. As they
kidding.
Did not lose the arm in the bottom of the ocean because somebody else caught it.
Somebody else hooked that same fish, and our rod with my hand was still attached to the rod, and they brought it back to us. So that's my fishing story.
How about that?
That's awesome.
I don't know what the chances are of something like that happening, but man, was that dude stoked to get his arm back.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine. I mean, those things got to be super expensive. Got to take an awful long time to build. You know, they got to custom make them for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was standing there thinking, I just lost an arm. I came out here to do a little fishing. I lost a freaking arm.
Again?
But again, exactly. Excellent point. How many times can I lose the same arm?
That fish wanted to die, by the way. That fish was committing suicide that day.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So anyway, a happy ending. And I'm always nice to see something nice happen to the wounded warriors.
Yes.
We support very much. So anyway, I thought that was funny. So he had an interesting Memorial Day weekend and a great story to tell. Let's talk about today's brand new Kevin Amin show now.
I'm sorry. Did I pass out from the pain in my penis and suddenly we're not in America anymore?
No, we're very much in America with a big show today, including the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices making its triumphant return to the program. Also, LaQuisha recaps last night's Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which is back for another season. We'll catch up with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Mm-hmm. Going to talk to serial mistresses on the program today. I don't know. Should we just do mistresses or should we do... Should we do the male equivalent of mistresses, too?
You mean men that only...
Date married women.
Date, well, sure. Why not? Yeah.
There's an article that I came across of a woman who has dated more than 50 married men. Mm. So clearly she has a type. Clearly
yeah.
there's a reason why she wants to go out with guys that are otherwise already committed. I want to find out what that reason is from you if you're in that ballpark, too. So serial mistresses. And what is the equivalent? What do you call the guys who do the same thing?
Slut. I don't know.
Other
I don't
other men?
I don't think there is an equivalent.
There's no equivalent, yeah.
Mm-mm.
Also, Beer Mug is going to weigh in today. Should be interesting based on the late-breaking information on that.
Yep.
I want Beer Mug to lose all 200 pounds. I think that's what I'm shooting for.
And I'd go away. I'd just disappear.
That's right. Oh, man, I didn't even think about that.
How dare you.
Also, we're going to talk to the K-Rock listener who Friday won the El Camino, which is actually not an El Camino at all, although that was the name of the album that they put the car on the cover of from the Black Keys. He won their touring van Friday out at Warner Brothers Records.
How
which
nice.
Has to be – it has to just be trashed. They
know,
took this
history,
thing to hundreds
right?
of shows. It is history. But what do you do with something like that? As cool as it sounds to win something like that, what do you do with a 1991 van that probably has 600,000 miles on it?
Well, I don't know.
Junkyard.
That's a good question.
put it in a Black Keys museum or you trade it in for $30 worth of metal? I don't know. So we're going to talk to him and find out what his plans are because I am fascinated. But you're right, Lisa. I mean, it's famous.
Yeah.
Millions of people have seen it. So we'll talk to him, find out how that went. And how about this? Andre Ethier on the program today. From Los Doyers, who are just tearing it up in the National League West this year. And he is one of the good guys. He's going to join us, too. That's all coming up. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and that's next right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. There's that song by that guy and that other woman singing together here on the world famous K Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ 551. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Good morning.
How was your jet setting weekend?
It was exhausting but very entertaining. So had a good time.
So you did the Babylon in Phoenix. How'd that go over?
Sold out crowd in Phoenix, Arizona on Thursday night. What a great event. And so thanks to everyone. We had some K-Rock listeners who listened via podcast out there in Arizona. Came to see
nice.
The show.
Nice.
But yeah, it was a sellout, and we crushed it. It was a good time, and then I hopped on a plane to New York City and spent the holiday weekend in New York.
Are you on the Amazing Race right now? Are we going to see you at a future season, or what's going on?
Yeah, well, I'm training. You know, you can't just jump right into it. I'm going around eating strange foods and traveling strange locations. But
well, I'm glad you survived. Not everyone made it back from the holiday weekend.
I know.
We're a man down. Not everybody survived and returned. But I'm glad you're here anyway. Time to take a look at our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week here on the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got more passes to give away. Seems like I'm just a ticket machine this summer. We're having another advanced screening of a very funny movie called Safety Not Guaranteed. Now, you may or may not be familiar with this movie. It is a little bit smaller, but it's a movie that we've seen the trailer for here at the station. Everybody's looking forward to this very, very much. You can look for yourself, by the way, at safetynotguaranteedmovie.com. But it's a quirky little film about some magazine employees who try to track down a story of an eccentric guy named Kenneth who claims he has solved the riddle of time travel. They plan to mock him until they meet him, and they realize what a great guy he is. In fact, there's a little love story that happens in this film as well. Aubrey Plaza stars in the film. You know her from Parks and Recreation.
Jake love her.
Johnson from New Girl, also in the movie. It just looks terrific. And if you'd like to see it before anybody else, I've got three pairs of tickets right now to give away at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First three callers who get through, we get a pair of passes to our advanced screening of Safety Not Guaranteed. Movies and theaters everywhere, June the 8th, by the way, in case you don't win. And while we're talking about movies, let's look at the box office for the Memorial Day weekend. Men in Black 3. Finally, someone managed to beat the Avengers over the four-day weekend. $70 million made it number one at the box office. The Avengers, still doing very well for itself, made almost $50 million. It's crazy.
I went for the first time.
Well, Lisa finally got around to seeing the Avengers. What'd you think? Being a chicken all
awesome.
Not comic booky and stuff.
Loved it.
Well, there you go. Battleship was third with $13.3 million. The Dictator was fourth. Chernobyl Diaries came in at number five. Dark Shadows, What to Expect When You're Expecting. Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, The Hunger Games, and Think Like a Man round out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
So, Lisa, around Labor Day, we can get your Men in Black 3 review?
I think that's about right.
She's busy. She can't just run off to the movies willy-nilly like Kevin does, seeing nine movies every weekend.
Exactly.
Abandoning his family.
The theater wasn't very full, and I thought, gosh, I hope word of mouth gets out, because this is a really good movie.
Yeah, maybe people will go see The Avengers with your blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Bieber is a fugitive of justice, should be hunted down and murdered.
This story did nothing but delight me all weekend long, Ralph.
He apparently got into a scuffle with a photographer who was taking some pictures of Bieber and his girlfriend Selena Gomez as they left a movie theater in Calabasas, California. Now, the paparazzo called the police, saying that Justin Bieber beat him up.
Oh, come on.
How do you, if it happens, how do you admit that to anyone, ever?
You go to your grave with that information.
Justin Bieber should get away with that all the time, because no one would have the balls to say, yeah, you know that that skinny lesbian that all the girls listen to? Yeah. She just beat me up.
I would claim I got beat up by a pack of Girl Scouts before I bring Justin Bieber's name into it.
He had to be rushed to the hospital for medical treatment after complaining of some chest pain after the incident. Now, the L.A. County Sheriffs would like to have a conversation with Mr. Bieber. However, he just tweeted yesterday, I'm off to Europe. You know that makes him? A fugitive.
Yes.
Which means we all now have the right to hunt him down and kill him.
Well, now hold on a second.
Yes, get a posse. Get a posse.
I'm not sure that's accurate. That's the law. Legal information.
That is world law. Go to the world court and they'll tell you.
I think they just want to talk to him. They just want to interview him is all, right? The police.
Yes, but I am putting out a bounty. I'm putting out a reward for Justin Bieber, dead or alive. I got $15 in my pocket right now. It could be yours.
Have you seen any of the pictures from this incident?
I have not, no.
Justin Bieber standing there with his hat on the ground and his shoe off. I don't know what went down. Yeah. Apparently the photographer was standing in front of their car and would not allow them to leave. He was just snapping pictures. So he got out and they got into a scuffle. But this photographer is 30. He's 30 years old and he claims Justin Bieber sent him to the hospital. What kind of man is he really?
Justin Bieber, the flash going off should knock Justin Bieber to the ground.
Right,
just the weight of the light hitting him should blow him back.
I just can't even believe it happened.
It's so crazy. More legal news with the celebrities. Jenna Jameson
Oh, yeah.
Was arrested early last Friday morning after crashing into a pole in the city of Westminster, just south of L.A. here. Police on the scene said that her blood alcohol level was over the legal limit. She was booked on suspicion of drunk driving. Jenna Jameson, she hit a pole.
Yeah. She sure did.
Whatever the pole hit her in the face. I'm just wondering where the pole hit her.
It's a good question.
When she hit the pole, where the in the on her body was the pole?
Because that would be a shame.
Did the pole make contact? I'm just wondering where the pole hit her. That's all.
Great, 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 great.
Great.
Enthusiastic fan of your material.
Ariana Celeste also in trouble. She's hot, but apparently she has a nasty temper. She was arrested on domestic violence charges in Clark County, Nevada last Saturday morning.
Hmm.
I guess she beat up her boyfriend.
Wow.
Yeah. That'd be so hot. Beat up by Ariana Celeste. Dana White, president of the UFC, by the way, says that the company's supporting her 100%. She is their baby, a good girl, an amazing ambassador for the sport, says Dana.
So, that's interesting, isn't it?
He's got her back.
I mean, I wonder if it had been one of his UFC fighters instead of his ring girls, if he would be so quick to automatically defend the situation.
Yeah, right. It's very possible. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Composer Danny Elfman celebrates his 59th birthday today.
He's the best.
He is. He did the best. He
did Dark Shadows recently.
He does everything Tim Burton does, apparently. LaToya Jackson is 56 years old today. Actress Annette Bening celebrates her 54th birthday. Rupert Everett, very talented actor, is 53. Melissa Etheridge turns 51 years old today. Noel Gallagher, most famously, of course, from Oasis, turns 45. Melanie Brown, who was Scary Spice of the Spice Girls. She's so hot. 37
Belle?
Years old.
You think of Belle for
I
Mel?
Think so, yeah.
Mel B, all right.
Yeah. Daniel Tosh, also 37 years old. And Pelle Enquist of the Hives celebrates his 34th birthday. Oh, Pelle. He's the best. Pelle Enquist. I just wanted to say Pelle Enquist today. He's 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The incredible Black Keys on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. We'll talk to the K-Rock listener who won their touring van coming up in less than an hour right here on the show. Plus, LaQuisha looks at last night's Keeping Up with Our Kardashians. I hate to ask you to do this for me, Beer Bug, but since the monkey's out today, you're going to have to tell us what's on the wheel. We're getting ready to spin the wheel of Bad Animal Voices. What are our choices today?
We have Doomsday Prepper Survival Kitty.
Survival Kitty.
I know. We need to talk to Survival Kitty.
The Badass Super Soldier Ants. Mm-hmm. Harvey Dent, the Two-Faced Kitten. Erwin, the Formerly Paralyzed Kangaroo.
Okay.
Florence, the Shark That Turned Vegetarian.
Wow.
Toto, the Tornado Kitten. The Icelandic Worm Monster. The Party Crashing Cows. Meow, the 39-pound Cat in Heaven. Houdini, the Australian Runaway Goat. And last but not least, a mouthful of the albino cyclops shark.
Hmm. I want to talk to every single one of them. I wish they were all having a party together. They could just hand the phone back and forth in the room. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday, it's time to spin the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but can't. So we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right. Give it a big hefty spin. Let's find out who we're talking to today here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Wow. Rock that wheel.
It's the Party Crashing Cow!
Yay!
Beer guzzling. Beer-guzzling cows crash party and drink up the suds. Boxford, Massachusetts. Listen to this. Actually, I believe we have an audio story on this, a news report on the cows.
Talk about party animals. Cows on the loose in Boxford, belly up to the bar for a few beers in a backyard.
Well, yeah, they enjoyed it. There's no doubt about it. They went right for the beer, and when one was done, they would knock another one over and take care of that beer.
Boxford police say they heard screams, and then a group of women took off when a half dozen cows crashed their backyard party. The thirsty bovines eagerly helped themselves to the brewskis left behind.
They got up as the cows went towards the table. They stepped back, and the cows took over the table, began knocking over the beers with their noses, drinking the beer off the table. They went to the recycling bin to find any leftovers.
Lieutenant Ryder says it's possible there may have been some underage drinking going on, but he says he would know because he can't tell the age of a cow.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Those cows should have killed everyone involved in that report. All right, let's talk to the beer-guzzling cows who crashed the party in Boxford, Massachusetts. Hello.
Hey, what's up, dude?
How are you, Mr. Cow?
I'm righteous. How are you?
Yeah, you sound like you guys were having a pretty good time at that Memorial Day party, right?
We drank all their brewskis, man.
Yeah, that's what I heard in the report, right?
Free brewskis. Who could turn down free brewskis? Not me, dude. Not me.
So what were you guys doing? You just a herd of cattle just walking down the street just looking for somebody having a party or what?
Yeah, man, we had nothing better to do. You know, we're just looking around the neighborhood and one of my buddies said, yo, dude, I heard they're having a party over there in that house. I said, well, guess what? That party just got a little bit bigger. Yeah, party!
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're still drinking. Yeah. Sounds like you guys are still putting it back, huh?
Oh, that's hot. That's so good.
Yeah. I didn't know that, I have had cows in my life. I've never given them beer. I didn't know they enjoyed the taste of beer.
Oh, really? You didn't? Yeah. What's beer made out of, dude?
I guess.
Grain!
Yeah, I guess that's right.
What
I guess
cows oats, eat, dude?
Yeah, grain. I guess makes a lot of sense.
Grain!
You're the most enthusiastic cow I've ever talked to in my whole life.
We love grain. We love brewskis. We love to party.
Yeah,
cows makes... love to party, man. You know what we like to do? We like to get all loaded up on brewskis and go out and find some people who are sleeping and tip them over.
Oh, really? You guys do that, too, huh?
It's so awesome to go people tipping.
I never even thought about it that way. What about the women? Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Slow down, dude. Slow
down. You slow down, old man.
No, I'm just saying, you don't need to still be drinking at this hour of the day.
You don't need to still be whatever you said, old man.
What about the women at the party who run away because some cows walk up to the picnic table? What about that?
Yeah, bitches. Suck up, bitches. No. We show up, they're like, oh, cows are here. We're not going to take off. We're not going to, bang any cows. Well, screw you, bitches.
Well, I don't think anybody was talking about banging any cows.
We don't like
what's...
your tiny human boobs anyway. See, boobs on a cow, they're huge, man.
Yeah,
that's
a
good point.
Like 19 nipples are awesome.
Yeah, you do win. You are
cow
you're
boobs
the
rule. Cow yeah, boobs rule. Okay.
Dude,
Green!
You need to lay down or something. This
you
is
you need to lay down, old man.
This is
forever.
Exhausting.
You just right. Lay down in front of traffic, man.
I'm glad you guys had such a great Memorial Day weekend. Sounds like a hell of a party. We didn't get a chance to talk about it very much last week, Lisa, but you know how much obsessed I am with this Charles Worley, this pastor in North Carolina?
This guy's amazing.
He's the guy who has this that I love so much.
The Bible's against it. God's against it. I'm against it. And if you've got any sense, you're against it.
And what everybody's against, of course, is the gays, because they're no good, according to the pastor. And I'm so fascinated by this story, partly because I don't see how in 2012 a guy can say the things. Of course, I know why he can say it, because we have free speech in this country. You can say something no matter how ignorant it is or how offensive it is. I get that and I support that. I don't know how you keep a flock, though. I don't know how you stand up in a house of God and not have everybody just get up and walk out and never come back if you're given the kind of speeches that you're given. Now, let me play a little bit of the speech we didn't get a chance to talk to last week. And the whole reason I'm bringing this up again is because of a follow-up interview that Anderson Cooper just did that I think you're going to find hilarious. But here's a little bit about what Pastor Worley had in a sermon last weekend when he was talking about how to deal with the gay problem in this country.
I figured a way to get rid of all lesbians and queers, but I couldn't get it past the Congress. Build a great, big, large fence, 150 or 100 mile long. Put all the lesbians in there. Fly over and drop some food. Do the same thing with the queers and the homosexuals.
Because they're different.
And have that fence electrified till they can't get out. Feed them. And you know what? In a few years, they'll die out.
Hmm.
Do you know why they can't reproduce?
Oh.
If a man ever has a young'un, praise God, he'll be the first one.
yet virgins have babies all the time where you come from. Why feed them, first of all, by the way? If you're really going to round them up and put them in an electrified fence and wait for them to die, why make it last longer for them? Why feed them? Why not just starve them to death?
And why are they going to just die in a few years? Wouldn't you last longer than that?
I don't know. And there's look. There's
and
a
if
lot
you
of
pro- put men in one place and women in another, they're not going to reproduce either.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, heterosexual or otherwise. Absolutely, yeah. And I think the pastor maybe has trouble. Somehow he thinks, and I don't. I'd love that if he would do an interview, I'd love somebody to be able to ask him this question. Why does he think that gay people only come from gay people? Does he not understand how that works?
I don't know.
Because it's straight people who are giving birth to all the gay people, and you can put as many as you want in a fence, pastor, but you're still going to have new ones being born on the outside of the fence. There's a lot of problems in the logic going behind what the pastor says. Now, Pastor Worley is not talking to anybody, as you can imagine, and they immediately took that that sermon down off the website, although now it's everywhere on the internet. But the reason I wanted to bring this up today, and I think this is hilarious, is one of the churchgoers, one of the supporters of Pastor Worley at his church in North Carolina, is named Stacy Pritchard, and she was willing to go on the TV and defend the pastor with Anderson Cooper. Now, Anderson is a guy who threw off the human Barbie doll off of his TV show the other day.
Yes, that's right.
I don't know how he doesn't throw this lady off, because this really is one of the most hilarious interviews that I've ever heard, of him trying to have what I think is a pretty rational conversation to say, hey, I'm having you on to give you a chance to defend what the pastor said since you seem to agree with him. Let's see how horribly wrong this goes. There's Anderson Cooper on CNN talking again to Stacy Pritchard. She's a churchgoer in North Carolina.
So, Stacy, I know you're a defender of Pastor Worley, and I appreciate you coming on the program. Do you agree with his statements that he said on the pulpit that gays and lesbians should be put in behind electrified fences until they die out?
I believe that was taken. I mean, yes, he said that, but of course he would never want that to be done.
Is that the impression you got, by the way?
Not at all.
Didn't want that to be done?
He would do it in a hot second.
Hey, that'd be a lot of fun. We can't do it, but this would be hilarious if we did it. I didn't hear any part of that. All right, so she's thinking that maybe we took it literally. He didn't mean it literally. He was just saying, you know, in a perfect world, that's how it would be.
Of course, people are going to take it and make it their own way and make it into what they want to. But I agree with what the sermon was and what it was about.
But you're saying he doesn't want it done, but he said he wanted it done. He said it from the pulpit. Why do you interpret that that's not what he wants?
Let me try to say it a different way. Maybe,
I love how she's acting as if Anderson is the stupid one here. Ugh, you still don't understand what I'm saying? All right, Anderson, let me spell it out for you again, okay? Yeah.
Maybe that's what he felt like should be done. I mean, it can be said either way. Okay, just to make the short of it, yes, I agree with him. If they can't get the message that that's wrong, then, they can't reproduce and eventually they would die.
So you believe only that gay people are only born of other gay people? You're saying you're saying they can't reproduce, so therefore they would all die off. Gay people get born to straight parents all the time, no?
No, that's not what I meant. If man and man were in the same fence and women were in the same fence, they can't reproduce together.
She's confused. She is confused. And by the way, why do they have to have this interview in the center of the Indianapolis 500 racetrack?
That's a good question.
So much traffic. There's no place in North Carolina you could go where it's a little quieter, a little more conducive to an interview. I feel like these two are not speaking the same language. Like, she doesn't understand any of the questions. He doesn't understand any of the answers. It's a very difficult interview to track.
I feel like they need a chalkboard. Yes. And some chalk. And then maybe they could diagram out what each of them is trying to say.
Yeah, they need to. They need to. You know what? They speak different languages. They need to find somebody in the middle who could speak both Anderson and North Carolina.
Right.
That's what I mean.
Right, but that wouldn't eliminate all gay people. There would be more gay people born outside the fence to straight people, wouldn't there?
Exactly, but we were meaning the ones in there. See?
Okay. So the ones. Yeah, the ones in there would die, I guess. But that's not what the pastor's plan was, to eliminate lesbians and homosexuals, right? He was trying to kill them all.
He was, because apparently they have ruined these people's lives.
Yes, that's evident. That is evident.
See, it's all taken out of context and twisted. The main point is always the same.
Okay, how? What's been taken out of context and twisted?
If you don't agree that they should be put behind fences, then you don't agree with this sermon. She's like, right. Well, I don't agree with that. But let me just say, I agree with his message. Well, that is his message. That's it.
What's been twisted and what's been taken out of context? Now, Anderson is getting ready to ask, I think, a terrific question in this argument, and I can't wait to hear what Stacey's answer is.
So what is it about gay people that are worse than adulterers, who Leviticus points out, and people who curse their mothers and fathers, who should be put to death, and promiscuous girls, who can be put to death in Deuteronomy? What makes gay people worse than those people?
And that's a fantastic question that I often ask, because people do tend to pick and choose what parts of the Bible that they're going to be serious about.
Yeah.
And there are lots of, I mean, aren't you supposed to be put to death if you have a tattoo, for instance? Isn't that something that's also in Leviticus? But people go, forget about that one. But let's concentrate on this one over here. There's so much obsession with the gay sex. I'm curious to hear how Stacey's going to defend it.
From the Bible, there's no difference, but that is what he was talking about.
So you believe people who... You believe adulterers should be put to death, because that's in the Bible.
Like you said, like it was said, you know, just not really would ever happen. But yeah, okay, I'm not going to, you know, keep answering the same question over and over. Yes. What?
So does it seem Christian to you, though, to talk about putting people behind electrified fences and watching them die? Because I've talked to a number of pastors in the last couple of days who say...
I think she almost got hit by that car, by the way. No, it was actually pretty close.
Oh, we were so close.
That just doesn't sound Christian. That just doesn't sound like the message of love that they hear in the Bible.
People keep, once again, harping on the electric fence, this and that. It's about the homosexuals, and it's wrong.
People
so
harping.
Mad.
Look, you say one time that you want to round up the gays and put them behind electrified fences, and nobody will leave it alone.
Harping.
What's with all the harping? Now, Anderson is just pretty much out of time and out of patience with this lady, but listen to how, I mean, he has given her the opportunity to come on international television to defend her pastor's position. But listen to how ticked off she is at the way the interview went.
That's what it's about.
Stacey Pritchard, I appreciate you being on the program. I know it's a difficult topic, so thank you.
Sure, yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, asshole, basically is what she's saying.
Do you think he was trying to get her to step into traffic? That was his whole goal from the beginning.
I don't know what he was trying. I do not consider that a successful interview. But we have not seen much from the pastor lately. I don't know what the latest is on that. But it is, again, people show up. They showed up the week after at that guy's sermon. I mean, they went back to listen to what that man had to say.
Yeah, that's his flock, man.
That's real. And by the way, I've listened to, you know, a lot of his sermon, and there's a lot of people agreeing in that audience. There's a lot of amen. There's a lot of tell it.
Yeah,
you know?
I heard laughing, and yeah, they seem pretty happy to be there.
Poor Anderson, by the way. He's going to quit television if these are the kind of guests he gets. If he goes from the human Barbie to that lady, I don't know. I think, seriously, he's going to start drinking or something's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree.
There you go. Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph.
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, I've got some more tickets to give away for a special advanced screening of a new movie that looks awesome. It's called Safety Not Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
Looks hilarious. Story of three magazine reporters who go to find a story about a lunatic named Kenneth who claims he has solved the riddle to time travel. But they end up with a very different situation than they think they're getting into once they meet him. Great cast. Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Recreation stars in the film, along with Jake Johnson from New Girl, who we'll be talking to next week about this movie. Jake's going to be on the show next Thursday, I think, to talk about Safety Not Guaranteed. If you'd like to see it before anybody else, I do have two pairs of passes left. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. It's happening at the AMC Century City on Wednesday, June the 6th, and then the movies in theaters everywhere Friday, June the 8th. You can check it out then. Top 10 movies at the box office for the long holiday weekend. Men in Black 3 finally did what no other film so far has been able to do, topple the Avengers off the number one slot in the money-making movie list. $70 million for Men in Black 3. For the long weekend, the Avengers...
I hear it's okay, right?
No, I heard
Men in Black 3.
People
pretty
really
good,
like it. Yeah. A lot of people like it better than number two. The Avengers, $48.5 million in the long weekend. Still great numbers. Battleship was third with $13.3 million. Then The Dictator and Chernobyl Diaries.
in its debut made $9.2 million. I think people are tired of that found footage, shaky camera, first person, what's going on in this horror movie.
Unless it's exceptional.
Yeah. Dark Shadows, What to Do When You're Expecting, Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, The Hunger Games, and Think Like a Man, top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Justin Bieber's on the run from the law, should be hunted down and killed like the dog that he is.
At least darted and tagged.
Exactly.
Maybe darted and tagged, but I don't know that killing.
Yeah, well, no, everybody thinks that he should be killed, pretty much. Los Angeles County Sheriffs are looking to talk to him about a scuffle he had over the weekend where he got into a fight with a photographer. Apparently, the photographer had to be taken to the hospital because Bieber is such a man of power.
Why?
Paparazzo told police that Justin struck him after he tried to snap some photos of Bieber and Selena Gomez coming out of a movie theater in Calabasas, California. By the time the cops showed up, Bieber and Selena were already gone. See? He's on the lam. He ran. It's a hit and run. It's a punch and run. So
bang,
he should be...
Bang, bang, bang.
Right.
Bang,
that's what he did. He'd bang, then he hit him again. Bang, bang, bang. So they should kill him then, right? That's what should happen.
By the way, Bieber's in Calabasas a lot these days. He just bought a $6.5 million house there. In Calabasas, Justin Bieber.
Is that all?
Great. Yeah. He's our neighbor.
You know, I think Seacrest just bought Ellen DeGeneres' old place in the Valley.
For
it's like $39 million or something like that.
I almost threw out.
They should get a country for that kind of money, right? Yes. You don't get a house.
That's insane.
Anyway, Bieber apparently is in Europe, so the L.A. County Sheriff's Department said they would like to have a chance to talk to him about the incident, but they can't because he's out of the country, and that's why he should be killed.
Look, here's my whole thing. This photographer, he's claiming he was sent to the hospital by the guy who sings this song. There's gonna be one less lonely
girl. One less lonely girl.
That guy sent you to the hospital?
When you put it that way.
Listen to the power. Listen to the manly power that he has. Power. Power.
I would
hear
never,
the power in his voice.
I would let the blow kill me. I would go to my grave before I would admit that I got beat up by Bieber.
Yeah, I would bleed out. Well, we're talking about movies, and we were just moments ago. This CBGB movie is turning out to be quite the cool thing. Alan Rickman's going to play Hilly Crystal, the guy who owned the legendary New York City nightclub. And we talked about the fact it was a sort of a minor reunion of the Harry Potter cast because Rupert Grint is playing the guitarist of Cheetah Chrome.
Ooh.
Cheetah Chrome, the guitarist for the Dead Boys. Meanwhile, it's just been announced that Malin Ackerman will be playing Debbie Harry of Blondie in the
nice.
Film.
Nice. Obviously.
So the cast is really coming together. It's going to be very cool. More casting news. Robert Pattinson will not be in the next Hunger Games movie. There had been various rumors around the internet that he was getting a part in Catching Fire, the second film in the series, but USA Today reports that's not the case. He will not be in the Hunger Games. So that's good news for Hunger Games fans.
They're going for actors instead, aren't they? Is that what they decided?
Yeah. And Mumford & Sons have announced they're releasing their second album. No title for it yet, but the release date has been set for September the 25th. So if you are a Mumford & Sons fan, you're going to look for September 25th when you can buy a new CD and listen to the song they sing. And you'll like it. I think you will like it. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Danny Elfman is 59 years old today. LaToya Jackson, she is 56 years old. Annette Bening celebrates her 54th birthday today. Rupert Everett is 53. He's a good actor.
He is, actually.
He's dreamy, too.
Plastic surgery killed him, though. He was such a good-looking dude before he got his face all got honked up.
I did not notice that.
It's not that honked up.
He's barely recognizable compared to how he was back in his hit days of My Best Friend's Wedding and stuff. That it looks completely different.
Oh, my God.
You just haven't been paying attention if you haven't noticed that.
Oh, God. You're such a drama queen. Melissa Etheridge is 51 years old today. Noel Gallagher of Oasis turns 45. Melanie Brown, Scary Spice, from the Spice Girls. She's 37. Daniel Tosh, also 37 years old today. And Pelle Almqvist. Of the Hives turns 34 years old today. Just can't get enough saying Pelle Almqvist. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
6.7 KROQ talking about serial mistresses coming up next. If you have had 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 married men, ladies, we're going to want to hear from you coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Beer Mug has his weekly weigh-in. Friday's the deadline, you know, Lisa. He's supposed to have lost the weight or lose the money by this Friday, June 1st. So we'll see. He's getting awfully close. We'll see how he does in the weigh-in today. And LaQuisha recaps last night's Keeping Up with the Kardashians. All that's coming up here on The Kevin and Bean Show. People go crazy for this rock and roll memorabilia. If you've ever been to a concert and you've seen people who get trampled almost to death just trying to get a guitar pick or a drumstick that somebody throws in from the crowd, people love souvenirs. They love stuff that has been handled by rock stars. I mean, if you have the opportunity to, you know, own a guitar that got played in a famous album or a article of clothing that you've seen on stage or something like that, you go for it. But K-Rock gave away something last week that really blew my mind. I couldn't believe that this thing still existed, and I couldn't believe that we had it to give it away. But the van that the Black Keys used for a number of years, touring all over the country, that they put on the album cover for El Camino, somehow we got a hold of, and somehow we gave away to a lucky K-Rock listener. And that K-Rock listener is named Savak, and he joins us here on The Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Savak, how are you, man?
Good, good. How are you?
Great to talk to you. I understand you're a big K-Rock fan. Tell me how you became eligible to win the van from the Black Keys.
Well, I was driving one day to work, and it was the whole Color 20 now wins ticket. So I called, got lucky, was number 20. So then got a phone call saying where the secret location was for the giveaway. Showed up there last Thursday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just got lucky.
And the secret location was over at Warner Brothers Records, which is the label that the Black Keys record for. So you won the Black Keys tickets to go see them when they come to the Honda Center, and then you were eligible for this grand prize drawing. Now, were you a Black Keys fan, or are you one of those guys who just calls in every time you hear K-Rock say to call in?
Half and half.
Half and half. Okay, so you kind of like them, not obsessed. Okay. So
yes.
How many people were eligible to win the van when you got there?
I think there was like 35 keys to give away to try.
Okay.
35 people.
And how does it work? Does everybody just pick a key and then you just stand up in line and one by one you go to try to start the engine with the key?
Well, first we stood in line and picked up a number. Then we lined up again according to the number and picked up another envelope that had a different number on it than the key inside.
It's very complicated.
I'm trying to make it confusing, right?
Yeah.
And I've seen the pictures up at KRock.com, Savak, and the car was right there. What did you think of it when you saw it?
It was beat up.
What a piece of ass.
Yeah. This is why I really wanted to talk to you, because I've never seen the thing up close. But did they give you any idea what the history is? Like, how long did the Black Keys drive this thing to tour with?
They didn't tell us. I think for the last concerts throughout, like, all over the country, they drove this thing.
Oh, believe me, they're in jets now, dude. The last couple of albums, they're pretty big time. There's no way they're in a van anymore. But I mean, these are guys who worked for a lot of years going crisscross across the country, you know, just the two of them going everywhere they can with this van. I mean, do you have any idea how many miles are on it?
I think I checked and it was like 151,000.
How many times has the odometer been around?
I think a couple of times or stopped working.
Yeah, a couple of – there's no way it's got only 151,000 miles on it. There's no way. What kind of shape does it seem like it's in?
It looked good, I mean, for the year.
And it's a 91?
91, I think, yes.
Yeah. How's it smell?
First thing, I need to get an air freshener for it, so – Or take
you gotta get
he's getting air freshener, yeah.
Air freshener, yeah, exactly. All right.
I read some stories.
So you get in and you flip the key, and what do you think when you hear the engine start?
I'm like, please turn on. And it just turned over and I started running. And
you were
great.
So psyched.
Yes.
So what are you gonna do with it? That's a weird thing to have. I mean, somebody else's car, you're not gonna I can't imagine you want to drive around in a 91 van. Yeah. What are you going to do with it?
Well, I haven't really thought about it, but probably park it and say I have the Black Keys van. And we'll see what happens.
I don't know. I imagine like a giant fan might offer him some money for it. Maybe.
Are you thinking about maybe selling it? Is that something you might do?
It could be an option. I mean, if the price is right, maybe.
What's the price?
Yeah, look, you got it for free. You got it for free. If they give you $100, you'd be ahead. I don't know. It's just, this is what's so fascinating to me about this, Slovak. And if you're just joining us, the reason we have our listener on the phone right now is that he won the Black Keys van, the one that's on the cover of the El Camino album. Strangely, they named the album El Camino, yet they're driving around in a van. It never did make any sense. But this is just one of those things that you look at and you go, wow, that's so cool. I love the Black Keys. I'd love to have that. But then once you get it, I just don't know what you do with it. It just seems like it would be a pain in the ass to just keep it in your yard, you know? I can't see you wanting to drive around with it. I can't see just leaving it in the yard. It almost seems like, unless it's in a museum somewhere, I just don't know what you do with it.
Yeah, pretty much. And I guess I have to pay the registration fees and insurance too, so.
So you're already down money. So basically, K-Rock has cost you money by you winning this promotion, right?
We could say that. But, I mean, I'm too happy. I'll still take it. Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely. Listen, when do you pick up the van?
I'm still waiting for the phone call. But I think this week sometime.
This week? All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's very exciting. I'm very happy for you. We don't usually do the follow-up on these kinds of contests, but I just thought it was such an interesting thing that we were giving away this time. I mean, you really do own a piece of rock history. And I also saw you out there with that giant reproduction of a Rolling Stone cover that looks like the Black Keys signed for you. So you got that also, right?
Yes, I did.
That's awesome. Well, we're so happy that you won. Congratulations. Thanks a lot for listening to K-Rock, all right?
All right. Thank you very much.
I'll carry you home tonight.
Is that you, Beer Mug?
It was.
Don't talk. Fun, period, on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ with what will be the biggest song of 2012, We Are Young. Andre Ethier from your Los Angeles Dodgers coming up later on today. Also, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. And don't make woo noises either, by the way.
Oh, wow. Sorry.
All right. This is a fascinating topic. I am very much looking forward to speaking with Kevin Amin listeners. Ladies, we're looking for you this time at 1-800-520-1067. You are certainly welcome to be anonymous on this one. You don't have to give us your real name. But we are looking for serial mistresses. Serial mistresses.
So women who just really date married men only.
Lots of married men. Those are your favorites. That's your choice. In fact, I thought this was a fascinating article. This originally appeared in the Mirror newspaper in Britain. I don't steal husbands. I just borrow them for a bit. Meet the woman who has dated more than 50 married men.
Wow.
She's a self-confessed serial mistress who views a wedding ring as an aphrodisiac and says married men know how to behave. So we're going to take your calls, ladies. If this sounds like, if you have some thoughts on this article or you've had experiences similar to this woman that I'm about to tell you about, you prefer to date married men. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. All right, here's Karen Marley. On a personal checklist for my ideal man, I would tick the box married. Married men are better trained. Married men have all their rough edges sanded off by their wives, and they know how to behave around a lady. And married men are better in bed. I've learned that a single man in his 40s is single for a reason. Either he has no social etiquette whatsoever, or he's a player just looking for his next wrestle. A single guy I was on a date with recently licked his plate in a restaurant. A married man would never do that because his wife would knock his head off his shoulders.
Oh, well, that is a good point.
So what she's saying is, you know, she's a woman who's in her 40s. She's divorced, by the way. She was married for 11 years. She's divorced. She says, look, if there's a guy who's single in his 40s, there's a reason he's single in his 40s, because he's either a player or he's a loser. I'd rather go out with somebody who knows how to behave around a woman, knows how to show you a good time, and usually those are the married guys.
But, I mean, plenty of people get divorced in their 40s. It's not because they're losers.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Listen, I'm not the girl in the tight skirt in the office who bends herself into an S shape and says, do you fancy some of this, to a married man who has never thought about having an affair? No, Karen, by the way, is a member of, I guess what we have, AshleyMadison.com.
Oh, Ashley,
yes. Country. She's in Britain, and there's a organization there called IllicitEncounters.com, which is a dating website for married women. So she is going out with men who are actively seeking affairs. They are paying into the site to have somebody on the side. So she's not out there looking for marriages to break up or anything like that, she says. Because I'm the perfect mistress, I'm never going to ask them to leave their wives for me. Most mistresses do, but not me. I know that if I asked him to leave his wife, in every argument from then on, he'd say, do you know what I gave up for you? And I don't ever want to be a part of that. In fact, when one of the men I was dating confessed to me about his wife and told me his marriage was almost over, I finished our affair. I was horrified. I don't want to steal someone else's husband for good. I just want to borrow him for a while.
I know how to behave as a mistress, and I don't mean just in bed. I would never ring one of my married men at home at 2 o'clock in the morning or on the weekend because that's their time with their family. I would never throw a hissy fit if they don't spend Valentine's, Easter, or Christmas with me. We both know what our goals are. That's the beauty of it. We're open and honest with each other, which must sound ironic considering my men are not open with their wives, but that's how it is.
So she could never go on vacation with him. She can't see him on holidays. She can't see him on weekends. Probably not many late nights. I mean, this doesn't sound like a great relationship to me.
Except for the fact that she, it sounds like, is also dating several of them at a time. So if she can't see one of them, there's a good chance she can see somebody else, right? I would imagine if you got enough, in rotation,
and maybe if you have someone who travels a lot, so he stays over, in your city or something.
But what happens if you, I mean, does she never grow any kind of attachment toward these guys? Does she never go, hey, I really do like this guy a lot and want to spend more time with
him? Doesn't it make you wonder if she can have an attachment?
Yeah,
like
I don't know.
That's a problem for her?
But, I mean, it's really interesting that there's nothing about her. And she goes on and on and on, this article. She goes on and on and on talking about how she's so glad to be single. She's so glad at the end of the day she can go home to her own apartment and not have to worry about how she looks and not have to watch football on TV and just be by herself. She has as much companionship as she wants, but she doesn't ever have to worry about the downside of it.
I absolutely do understand that part of it. There is something really lovely, especially having been divorced. You know, there's a time period for sure when it's wonderful to go home and it's just you.
Right.
And
right.
It's your stuff and you don't have to worry about anybody else.
I can't imagine. And again, we're looking for your calls, ladies. If you like, if your choice is to date married men, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. And I'm sure that you do get grief from other people who don't think that it's the right thing to do for a number of different reasons.
Yeah, I mean, whether or not he's looking for it, isn't he kind of a crappy guy at the end of the day?
That's something you have to reconcile in your mind, I guess. Or, unless maybe you just think he's a crappy guy, but it doesn't matter because he's, you know,
he's
stepping out with me
guy.
Instead of exactly right. Here's a little bit more from Karen again, the serial mistress, which I think is interesting. When husbands are on loan to me, they almost always revert back to being in their 20s because that's often the last time they dated. We go to the theater, do all the things that married couples no longer do because they've already done it. I hear all their best stories because their wives heard them 15 years ago and they stopped laughing. Men come back to life with me, not just because I can jumpstart their sex lives. Our conversations are full of chemistry, flirtation, and fun, and not boring whinges about gas bills or humdrum things that drain the color from marriages. Men with me endure no drudgery, no arguments, no grief, and in return, I see them at their very best. I never feel like second best. I get the good bits of the married man. During our time together, it's the wife that is the other woman. How's that for an interesting way to look at it, by the way? I get 100% of my married date's attention, and he gets 100% of mine. We're the most important people in each other's world at that time until the date is over. Then I accept that I'm not the sole person occupying his thoughts. We both have our lives to get back to, our own friends and family. So there you go. That's Karen Marley, again, a serial mistress, says she has had relationships with over 50 married men. And we want to take your calls on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we talk to Beth real quick before the break, and then we'll come back and take some more calls, too, if you want to get in on this. Beth, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. So what's going on with you? What's the deal?
I loved dating married men because at the end of the day, I got to go home to my peace and quiet. I got the best part of them. We had a good time. We went out socially, obviously not where they lived, but it was great for me because I wasn't looking for a relationship and I knew that they weren't going to look for a relationship either.
And how long did you do that, Beth?
Over about 3 years.
How many different married guys?
Nine.
Nine. Wow. Now, isn't there some sort of a girl code where there were times where you thought, wow, I'm really doing a crappy thing to this other woman that I don't know, that I haven't met, but would I want somebody to do that to me?
Yeah, actually, that's why I don't do it anymore. I just kind of started feeling a little bad about it.
Yeah.
I truly believe these men who, oh, my wife, blah, blah, blah. Okay, seriously, if your wife is that, then walk away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have any close calls where you thought you might get caught?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it's not fun to be shoved into a closet or something all of a sudden.
Yeah,
it's really degrading.
that's fun. No, it's more like, you know, the emails that
supposedly or on a private email address or whatever.
Right.
It does get worrisome, and at that point, you just have to decide what you want to do. But for me, it was fun while it lasted.
Beth, did you ever develop any feelings where you thought, wow, I'm in love with this guy or think I am and I really want more and I wish he would leave his wife? Did that ever happen?
The one that actually made me end the whole process was the one where I thought, you know, if he were not married, I could see this going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that was it. That's when I decided that I could no longer date married men.
Would you ever be able to, if a guy did leave his wife for you, you're the mistress, he leaves his wife, now you're with him, would you ever be able to trust him?
Oh, hell no.
No.
Yeah. Not even for a minute. Are you kidding me? If they cheat once, they're going to cheat again.
What? Where are you at right now? Are you married or still single or what?
I am very happily single.
How about that? All right, Beth, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. Nice talking
to you.
1-800-520-1067. Cindy, you hang on. Everybody else, hang on. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kip. Keeping up with our Kardashians. Take two. Keeping up with the Kardashians is the show that's on every weekend, and I don't know anybody who watches it except for LaQuisha, so she'll review it for us coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, plus Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Right now, let's go to Cindy. Cindy is on line four. Cindy, I cannot thank you enough for holding on. We're talking about serial mistresses. What did you think about the highlights of this article that I was reading about this woman who has had over 50 married men? What'd you think? Hey, Cindy.
Good morning. Hello.
Yeah, what'd you think about this article I was reading from the serial mistress?
Well, I can totally see where she's coming from. I know that I'm 41. I've been single for 2 years. I was divorced, married for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I've dated three men since then. All three of them have been married.
Interesting.
The first two, I don't hit on them. They hit on me. I don't know what the attraction is, but I can't find a single man out there. The only ones that are willing to go out on dates are the married ones.
Wow. That's depressing.
Is really, well, what did you think about what she was saying, which is that the single guys her age, and it seems like you guys are pretty close to the same age, are just losers or players, and that she says, hey, I have a much better dating experience. I get treated a lot better by a married guy because they're trying to impress me, and they've been around, and they know how to behave in front of a lady. Has that been your experience as well?
Well, the couple of them that I've run into that have not been married, they really don't. Again, a lot of them haven't been married at all. They have no training, you know.
There is a difference between someone who is like 45 and has never been married versus someone who's divorced, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it is always interesting to me when someone reaches that age and they haven't been married.
There's some structure involved in there, you know?
Right, that's what
Why was it not a deal breaker? Like, did you have to pause and think about it? The first time you get hit on by a married man, did you stop and think, is this a road I want to go down? Is this a risk I want to take?
Absolutely. Number one, the emotional part of it. I mean, I didn't want to get tied up into it. But then again, after being married for 20 years, I really didn't want that long-term relationship. I wanted to go out there and kind of be the player, you know? Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, too. If these guys were single, would you have dated them?
Absolutely.
Okay, so they were good enough either way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I was just curious.
Yeah, and it's sad. In regards to, you know, would I ever hook up with them, period, two of the three have left their wives for me.
No way!
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Both times I went into them telling them, do not do anything like that because my intention is not a relationship. Both of them ended up walking. One of them is done with his divorce, and he's moved on. And we ended up not seeing each other. I told him after 2 years of seeing him that I told him not to do that.
How about that? All right, last question for you, Cindy. And again, we appreciate you calling and hanging on.
I do have a good one for you, though.
Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah.
One of them, I went over to his house during lunch, which was definitely risky since we all work at the same place. And the wife came home. And he actually, you know, just kept me in the room, got her out of the house.
Oh.
The best one, though, was 2 weekends ago, and he came over to help me do some plumbing. And the plumber that we were working with actually had talked to the wife and gave her my address.
What?
And she ended up, it was so funny, we were laying there watching TV, and I went to go into another room, and I was standing in the other room, and I heard my front door open. And I didn't know, I was calling for my roommate because I have a roommate and I wasn't getting any response at all. And so finally I'm like, what's going on? And I stood up and turned around, and she was standing in my hallway.
Oh, my Dude. God. You could have been dead.
Dude, yeah, it sounds like a horror movie.
She walked in my front door. He came out of the bedroom. They met in the hallway. They yelled at each other for a while. She told me to stay away from her, you know, bleeping husband, obviously.
Oh, my God. You have too much drama in your life. I'm sorry. I thought this was going to be simple. It's not simple.
Are you going to keep seeing him?
Yeah, I still am. He actually told her, he went outside and talked to her for about a half hour and told her it was over and told her he didn't want to see her anymore and, you know, be with her and that he was going to file. And told her to go home, and she went home, and he stayed the night. And the next day, he got up and went home and dealt with all that crud. And
they're still together?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny. Right now, they're in Australia.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Cindy,
my last question, is there going to come a time where you're going to want one of your own, where you think you will want to settle down again, or do you think this is going to be your pattern for the rest of your life?
No, it won't be a pattern. I'll settle down. But
you'll settle down.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I don't plan on spending, you know, 20 years with the same guy by any means anymore.
Understood. All right, Cindy, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm too weak of heart to deal with situations like that. I don't want the stuffed in the closet. I don't want the wife coming through the door, all the explanation. Too much drama for me. All right, Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Deny my...
Just for you, Ralph. Play that one just for you.
Thank you.
Linkin Park on the way, also Foo Fighters, and yes, because you demanded it here in almost June of 2012, Blind Melon's No Rain next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Finally, right?
I hope we get the OC remix.
Oh, sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay.
We'll hook you up for that. Right, absolutely, good. Yeah. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
It is Tuesday, even though it feels like a Monday because we all had a long weekend. Because it's Tuesday, that means new CDs and DVDs are in your stores. If you want to find out what you can buy for your entertainment dollar, here's what's new today. We saw From the Cheap Seats by Regina Spektor. Now, is this that Russian broad who's like really hot and she sings, she's all ethereal and whatnot?
I didn't think she was Russian, but she's real good. She's real talented. We're probably thinking of the
same person or not.
Probably, yeah. She's real good.
Well, let's find out if she's Russian and then we'll know. Someone do some research.
New York singer and pianist, it says here.
New York? So she's not Russian. All right.
Yep. Different girl.
Magic Hour by Scissor Sisters.
Love them.
Here by Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros.
Love them.
Nocturnicate by the Mars Volta.
Oh, wow. Big week.
Big week. Roses by the Cranberries. The Cranberries are back, everybody. And we've got them. The Cranberries. Come on.
I'm not sure that's.
They're my good friends, the Cranberries. I co-starred with them in
that's right, you did.
The TV series, The Three Witches.
About the Witches.
Of Eastwick. No.
Nope.
The Charmed. Charmed. Yes, that was the name of the show, yes. I introduced them on that series. DVDs, Up All Night, the live tour, U.S. version, starring One Direction. For all you kids in the audience who love OD, as they're called now. Man on a Ledge, movie with Sam Worthington and Ed Harris and Elizabeth Banks. I wanted to see that in theaters, but I never got around to it, so I'm actually glad that's coming out today.
Excellent.
Goon, the hockey movie with Sean William Scott, is available today. Gone with Amanda Seyfried and Jennifer Carpenter. We Need to Talk About Kevin. Yes, don't we indeed. Tilda Swinton, John C. Reilly star in that film.
By the way, does anyone think Kevin's coming back, or is he going directly from wherever he is today right to New Jersey for the Stanley Cup Finals?
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen.
We're just not going to see him until after the Kings are back in town, right?
Nope.
Okay.
Get in my vagina. True Blood, the complete fourth season, and Rookie Blue, the complete second season. Finally, the second season of Rookie Blue is available on DVD.
Actually,
the golden age
of
television.
That's right. Movies this weekend at the box office. Men in Black finally tapped the Avengers and knocked them off the top of the mountain there. $70 million is what Men in Black 3 made over the long weekend. The Avengers did pretty well for itself, considering. $48.5 million.
That is just amazing.
Almost $50 million in its fifth week?
Yeah.
It's been out now. It's crazy. Battleship was third with $13.3 million. Then The Dictator and Chernobyl Diaries. It's your top five at the box office. Dark Shadows, What to Expect When You're Expecting. Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. The Hunger Games and Think Like a Man. Rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Now, the best top ten British albums is a poll that they do every year. And the UK retail chain HMV, which is their big record store over there, did a poll of all their fans. And you'd be surprised, I think, by the outcome this year. Usually it's a Beatles album or a Queen album. But this year they released the list of, according to their buyers at that record chain, the top 10 British albums of the past 60 years. Here's your top 10. Beatles' White Album was 10th. Adele's 21 was 9th. Oasis's What's the Story, Morning Glory was 8th. Queen, A Night at the Opera. Then the Beatles with Revolver, Pink Floyd, and Beatles' Abbey Road get you to number 4. Number 3, the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band. Number 2, Depeche Mode's Violator.
That's an odd choice.
It was an odd choice. I was surprised to see it at number 2, but I was shocked to see the number 1. And this was a big poll that went all over the UK. Number 1, best album, British album of all time, according to people who buy albums over there in the UK. Iron Maiden, The Number of the Beast.
Come on.
What are the odds that's going to happen?
That's a bunch of hogwash.
Iron Maiden.
Well, they clearly stuffed the ballot box or something. They must have done some sort of a campaign where they had all of their fans go and vote a million times. There's no way.
I'm just saying, Iron Maiden.
You'd be hard-pressed to find someone who owns that album.
Iron Maiden. Come on. Number one. Greatest British album in history.
For folks who are unfamiliar with Iron Maiden, I anticipated this story, Ralph, and I did bring in a clip from Number of the Beast.
Oh, great. Sure.
People want to hear what they sound
great.
Like.
Hot girls, we have problems, too. We're just like you,
except we're hot, hot, hot. There you go.
Well, you can see why they got votes.
Yeah. Ralph, I want to thank Kevin and Bean listener Dimitri for writing in. Did a little deeper research. Yes, she is a New York singer-songwriter, but was born in Moscow in 1980 to a musical Russian-Jewish family. And then moved to New York from the USSR. So apparently we're both talking about the same young lady. Thank you, Dimitri Smolyanitsky.
Oh, well, of course he would know.
Sure.
Commie spy. Dimitri living amongst us as an American. With your,
it's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
With your hammer and sickle T-shirt, I'm sure you're wearing under your work shirt today. That's right.
Have a clip from the Regina Spektor album. If
oh,
you'd like to hear
stop it!
Got it right here if you want to. Pick that up today if you want to buy it.
And see why that's funny. Oh, never mind. Top 10 birthdays today. Danny Elfman is 59 years old today. LaToya Jackson turns 56. Annette Bening turns 54 years old today. Rupert Everett, who we were talking about in the last showbiz, Bean said he was horribly disfigured by plastic surgery.
He's not disfigured, but he looks like a completely different person.
He sent me some pictures, and I did not...
I didn't either.
Know that he had gone that far. Maybe last time I saw him, he had only done some of the plastic surgery. But he does look like he's in the witness relocation program.
You could not pick him out.
It's he doesn't rough. Look horrible.
No.
He just looks like someone else.
Yes. A different person, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Melissa Etheridge, 51 years old today. Noel Gallagher of Oasis is 45. Melanie Brown of Scary Spice fame from the Spice Girls. She is 37, as is Daniel Tosh. He celebrates his 37th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
LaQuisha joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous Kerrick. Then Harvey Levin from TMZ.com with the very latest on fugitive Justin Bieber. First, though, beer mug weight loss challenge.
Way to go, beer mug. Lost another 1.3 pounds. I got a tool tip for you to lose the rest of it. Cut your tongue off. That way you lose a couple pounds and we don't have to listen to you. I hate you, beer mug.
Oh, I'm right there with you, buddy. That's the best idea I ever heard. It seems like about 5 years ago, Beer Mug made a bet that he was going to lose 30 pounds by June 1st. And I know that it's been annoying, but the long national nightmare is almost over because this Friday is June 1st. So there's money on it. Apparently, you made a bet, Beer Mug, with Kevin and with Dave. And I like what you decided to do because it was a 3.5 month bet, but you really didn't start trying until about 4 weeks ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought, why do it? Why take the whole 3 months to lose the weight? Why not just procrastinate and wait till the last month?
So you coasted, and now there's a chance you might make it. It's getting close. One of the things that I'm very excited about is a listener that sent us this song about your weigh-ins.
Doo doo doo, 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 doo doo doo.
Recorded this on his iPhone, by the
way. Doo doo doo. Do 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 do. Beer mug's fat. Do do do. Beer mug's fat. Do do.
Beer mug's fat.
Do do-do-do-do-do, beer mug's fat, do-do-do, beer mug's fat, do-do, beer mug's fat, do-do-do-do-do. Standing on the scale, his face is full of fear. The number doesn't change because he is full of beer. He got the lowest score in the world on his SATs. And now he drowns his problems with the things he eats. He stays motivated when you guys make fun of him. 3 months to lose the weight, but he ain't losing none of it. People look at him and think he weighs a billion. Nope, bigger numbers. That dude weighs a gillion. Beer mug's fat. Beer mug's fat. Beer mug's fat.
Right, exactly. So basically, you're 19 pounds down with about 11 to go here in the final stretch. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Beer Mug Weigh-In Challenge.
Beer mug is so fat, damn, he's so fat. Beer mug is so fat, that boy's got fat. Beer mug is so fat, he likes smoking doobies. Beer mug is so fat, he's got mad boobies. Will beer mug lose the weight? I think not. Beer mug's so fat, 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 so fat. Let's find out how much weight beer mug loves. Beer mug's so fat, 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 so fat.
You're down to 207.4, which gives you about 10 pounds, maybe 11 to go, Beer Mug, as of last Tuesday. What happened over this weekend? I knew the Memorial Day weekend was going to be tough for you, but you seemed so committed when you left here on Friday.
He was on fire. He was like, I'm going to come in on Tuesday. I might actually meet my goal on Tuesday.
Just the intense workouts that I did this weekend at the gym. I got back to my house, and of course, there's food and barbecues.
Of course.
I was just overly famished and hungry. I didn't go too far off the scale by going, you know, just too unhealthy, but I did eat some things that I wasn't planning on eating.
But what about keeping your eye on the prize? It's so close. I mean, Friday is in view right now.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little bit nervous about that. We'll see. Let's step on the scale.
This is going to be important. This is going to be important weigh-in for you because this is the last one before the last one, which means that we're going to find out how much weight you have to lose to either win or lose the bet basically in the next 3 days, right?
3 days, exactly, Bean.
All right. 207.4 is where you were last Tuesday. 207.4. Let's see where you're at today.
Stepping on the scale. Oh, yeah. 204.7.
No way. Really?
Yes.
So what's that, another 2.5 pounds?
Yeah.
So what do you got left?
I got about 8 pounds to go.
Can he do it, Lisa?
Well, he's doing something extreme for the next couple of days, so yeah, he could.
I got a lot of listener emails just telling me just to get rid of all the water weight you can.
He's basically doing
out,
a cleanse.
Doing a cleanse. I'm going to go to the gym.
You're not
going to
eat any
sweat.
Food.
I'm not
going to
eat any food. Nothing for the next 3 days.
He could absolutely do it. It wouldn't be for real, but he could do it.
Yeah. We'll see. I might be a miserable dick for the next 3 days, but I think I'm going to get that $200.
So, basically, you're in fighter weigh-in mode is what you're in now, which is just you're playing with the amount of water in your body,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
That's what this is?
I've cut it down to under 10 pounds,
Wow.
I don't know how I did
crazy,
it.
How crazy would this be if he ends up winning this after I mean, it's like he's at the Indy 500, but he gives everybody else a 300-lap head start before he starts his engine. I mean, essentially, that's what he did is just waited
that's
until
how good
he got
I am.
Going.
Here's
that's
the
how good
problem,
I am.
Though. Here's the problem. Because this is exactly what happened over the weekend. He got too hungry, he got too tired, and he folded. Now, you've got...
But the good thing is, Lisa, there is no weekend for the next year. There is no Memorial Day weekend or any part. I mean,
they're still too tired and they're still hungry.
Hold on. There is the King Stanley Cup game one tomorrow. So, but I think I'm just going to lock myself in the room, turn on the TV, and just stay away from everything.
Okay.
So you just have to basically lose 8 pounds in 3 days, which sounds pretty doable if you're doing the cleanse or whatever. And a lot of, you know, a lot of sauna, a lot of sweating, right?
Woo! I got this. A lot of sweating.
This is going to be close, man. Yeah. This is going to be close.
Amazing.
$100 for Kevin, $100 for Dave. And of course, we're talking credits because betting actual money might be illegal. We're not sure about that.
Right, right.
All right. Well, congratulations, Birma. What's the new number? Give it to me again.
204.7.
Wow. Yeah.
See you Friday.
Well,
I cannot believe I'm saying this, but it's raining in the OC.
I know, it's crazy. I got to tell you, the traffic is a nightmare. The 405 is jammed. The 5, the 710, they're all gridlocked.
Stay safe, stay dry, and let's all pray for sunshine.
Yeah, let's pray for sunshine, Kevin. Good one. From the TV show The OC, when that was alive and Blind Melon was alive, too. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock here. It's the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday. Keeping Up with the Kardashians is not only the most popular show on the E! Entertainment Channel, it is one of the most popular shows on cable. You know, it had over 3 million viewers when it came back the weekend before last, Lisa.
That's just depressing.
Up 16% from last season. How are we not over the Kardashians already?
That's what I mean, we know none of it is real.
I know. I don't watch it. LaQuisha is watching it for us this season so we can find out what the fascination is with it. Are you under the spell of the Kardashians yet, LaQuisha?
I am under the spell the way Satan comes and puts you under his spell.
Now, you got me a little bit interested last week when you started to tease us about the brother, Rob Kardashian, who apparently wants to be a sock tycoon. Yes. But other than that, I have no idea what's going on this season.
Rob is starting his own line of socks, his special designer sock line. And we find out last night that he has contacted people in Europe to make them for him. So he's going to be specially imported socks from Rob Kardashian. Did you know there are other Kardashians, too? There's Khloe and there's Kim and Courtney.
Right.
And then Rob.
Right.
And then there's two new girls, I guess, that just got added to the cast this season or something.
Those little young girls.
The little ones, yeah.
Yeah, and they're into modeling or something too, right, aren't they?
Yeah, and they also have K names like Khloe and Kim and Courtney, but I did not care enough to learn their names.
What is their relationship with the bigger, are they little sisters or are they nieces
they
or what?
They are half-sisters, I believe, of the other ones that are famous and fatter.
So they're Bruce Jenner's kids.
They are Bruce Jenner's and Kris Jenner's biological children.
Okay.
And their names are Kinky and Chlamydia.
I think that's right. I think it's Kinky and Chlamydia, but both with a K, right? But OJ is only Chloe's father, right?
That's right.
Okay. So what else is going on?
And Kris is trying to take these two new ones and turn them into icons of the tabloids like the older ones, because it's the next, it's like Menudo. You got to get fresh ones in there or else the brand going to die. So last night it was largely about Klepto and Karma and their relationship with their older sister, Kim. And here's Kim teaching them some makeup tips.
Ooh, look at this, guys.
Oh, that's really pretty.
Have you guys ever put on fake lashes before?
Not myself.
Neither have I. Oh, my God, I just put on a fake lash.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kim Kardashian. That is the
riveting
kind of achievement that they document on this television program, where a girl can put on a fake eyelash, and there's much rejoicing.
Oh, I thought she climbed Mount Everest. No, did I misunderstand?
No, she glued some fake hair onto her eye.
Okay, gotcha.
And Kanko and Kielbasa could not have been more excited by what they saw their big sister do. They're really just passing on just really important lessons of life. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Now, Courtney, she is not a big fan of her mother, Kris. In fact, lately she's been particularly critical of Kris Jenner.
Courtney has always been the toughest critic on me. And ever since I wrote my book, it seems to be bringing up a lot of emotions for everybody involved.
Yeah, since her memoir. She wrote her memoir. Courtney's been upset because she talks about how she cheated on Courtney's dad in that book.
Right.
Courtney doesn't think that is appropriate behavior. Apparently, she's the only one in the family bothered by this. I think Courtney may be the only decent person in this whole family of evil.
Yeah, except for the bad taste that she has in men, she does not seem as despicable as the other girls.
No, she is definitely the victim here. Here she is talking to a mother who's bragging about her night out at a concert.
Yeah, I went to the Babyface concert the other night. You know who I saw there that was crazy hot?
Who?
One of the contestants on The Voice.
Did you bone him there in the bathroom?
Did I what?
It's not like it would be such a shock.
I've been married for 21 years.
Like that stopped you before.
Oh, snap!
Wow.
Snap indeed.
Yeah, there's a big rift between those two. But more importantly, let's get back to Korea and Kidney. Because they, They have been given a new job. The mother went out and got them a job with 17 Magazine. They are now the West Coast fashion correspondents for 17 Magazine.
Really?
Okay.
And they get their own business cards and everything, and it is a total BS job is what it is.
My mom got Kylie and I this wonderful opportunity to be West Coast contributors for 17 Magazine, and I'm so excited. This is just the biggest blessing. Not everyone gets to do this.
Not anyone gets to do this because it's not a real job.
Right.
No.
It's 17 Magazine saying we need to tie into the Kardashians somehow. Let us please be part of this juggernaut of television.
Right. And we can't afford the famous ones, so let's get the kids.
So the mama just said, all right, give us some money and we'll let them be correspondents for your little magazine. But they get little business cards and they think there's something and they're actually working for this magazine. And actually, they do ask Kiosk and Kitten to go out there and try to just stop people in like Malibu on the beach and just say, hey, would you like to be a model and hand out their business card? That's what their job ends up being. Now, meanwhile, this big rift still going on between Chris and her and Courtney. So Kim sits her down over lunch and tries to talk to her about patching things up with Mom.
You have this resentment towards Mom. Maybe it would be good to just like sit down with her and talk about some issues.
I would rather die. I do not like talking about these kind of things.
I know, but maybe you should.
Are you ready to go? I'm over this convo.
I hate people that run from convos.
I don't. What is the point of it?
Oh, no. That convo's going to end.
Oh, no, no, no.
Courtney's done with the convo, but Kim doesn't like when people run away from convos.
Are you kidding me?
Make this stop, LaQuisha.
They didn't even finish their convo.
Make it stop. How much of a hurry are they in?
They didn't even have a chance to finish their convo.
This is a show that people watch.
It is. But finally, Courtney, she goes right up to Chris and she confronts her and they have to hash this out because they had a big blow up there at a family dinner that Courtney was made for everyone. And by made for everyone, I mean she hired a chef to make dinner for the family. So they have to step outside and have this out.
I'm so sick and tired of you saying rude things to me in front of everyone else.
You are the one who brought this all back up again, not me.
I brought it up in a memoir. You know why? Because that's what you write about. You write about your life story.
That's right. That's what a memoir is all about. And so Courtney and Chris just have to agree to disagree. And Chris can't be bothered because she is too preoccupied with Kabbalah and Kumquat. Because they got this new job with 17, it really is important that they make sure they go out and take pictures of strangers and hand out their business cards. That is an important part of the magazine industry.
Sure.
And I'll tell you something, Kahlua and Cackle couldn't be more happy than when they're showing off their business cards to the sister Kim.
Want to see the cards? That we got? They're so professional.
I want one. Oh my gosh, West Coast fashion contributor. What do you have to do for this job?
Scouted models and stuff?
Yeah, they've got scout models and stuff.
And
it's
stuff,
profesh,
right?
You guys.
Their cars are so profesh. They are the professest that I've ever seen. And I'll tell you something, Kennel and Khaki really went out of their way to do a good job for 17 Magazine. So much so that they had to take a little vacation from all the hard work they were doing.
My dad is taking us on a hike right now. It'll be nice to get out after all the stress from 17 Magazine and doing that little operation.
Oh, their stressful job requires them to take a hike just to be able to decompress because Kayak and Kimono they would have a stroke if they didn't get away from the rat race that is handing out business cards.
Wow.
Oh, you think the old ones are bad, but Kleenex and karaoke, really, they're more hateful than any of them. Well, Chris finally decides she has to patch things up with her sister, her daughter, Courtney, and she decides to give her she's pregnant again, Courtney.
Yeah.
Don't give her her shower gift early and give her a nice present, and maybe that'll make everything okay, Kay.
Courtney?
So I decided to buy you your shower gift now.
What?
Because I went to Fred Siegel and I went a little cray cray. So I want you to see it.
No.
He went cray cray.
Stop it.
They having a convo about going cray cray?
They had a profesh convo about going cray cray.
Oh, make it stop.
And
please make it stop.
About Kale and Kendall's future with 17 magazine. But I tell you, this Courtney, she may be the only one with any hope here, because here is her response to that gift.
I really appreciate the gift that my mom's giving me, but it's always her solution is to, like, buy our affection with gifts.
Why would that be? Because your mother's a bad person.
Yeah.
And a horrible mother. But she is a pretty good manager, because she did get Kangaroo and Kaleidoscope, that job over at 17 Magazine. And that's saying something. So she got something going for her.
Okay.
But next week, I hope there's a fire or something, basically, yes. What I'm asking for at this point.
Flesh-eating bacteria, just anything just to thin the herd, get rid of some of these K-girls,
or
right?
Or Bruce Jenner just go off and start taking people out with his remote-control helicopters.
There's no jury in the world that would convict him if he did. Thank you, Laquisha. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye now.
Andre Ethier from your Los Angeles Dodgers tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean, excuse me, in about a half an hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then we're going to talk to Dan Heron from your Anaheim Angels, or Los Angeles Angels, if you prefer. That's going to be tomorrow at the same time. So we're taking care of your baseball needs here on the Kevin and Bean Show here this week. Hey, real quick before we go to Harvey, how about a pair of tickets to the 9th Annual Ink and Iron Music and Arts Festival? It's happening the weekend of June 8th on the Queen Mary. Listen to this. Pennywise, Suicidal Tendencies, Face-to-Face, Buck Cherry, She Wants Revenge, and more.
Wow.
All of that at the 9th Annual Ink and Iron and Music and Arts Festival. You can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067, and we'll take the first five callers through who want to go to that. You win your tickets. Tickets available at inkandiron.com. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com is on the phone? Not on the phone. Is on the phone?
Yes.
We got him. Hey, okay. Harvey, how are you, man?
Hi, Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Harvey.
How was your long weekend, my friend?
Oh, I did nothing but hurt myself over and over and over. I just killed myself.
Like, were you trying to do sports?
Having
or
accidents or working out or what?
Pulled a hamstring playing tennis, went in a lounge chair. The chair fell as I was adjusting it, and it smashed three of my fingers.
Oh, my God.
Got into a car and then hit my temple on the window, and I've got this huge knot. And then I swam in a pool the next day, and there was a duck swimming in the pool that was crapping in the pool the whole time, and now I feel like I think I have bird flu.
You are a mess, Harvey. That is not an ideal weekend.
No.
But at least you didn't get served by an 18-year-old. Tell me about Justin Bieber, the most dangerous man in the world, because I cannot stop laughing at the fact that this guy claims he got beat up by Justin Bieber.
Well, it is. It's funny because it's like, God, do you really just want to make this public?
No, you never ever admit this to anybody. You go to your grave before you admit that Bieber beat you up, right?
But here's the thing. Okay, so he's in Calabasas, where he now lives, and went to a movie with Selena Gomez, and they come out of the movie, and there are about 30 fans there and some photographers. So he's trying to drive away and asks everybody to move, and everybody moves except this one photographer. So he says, hey, dude, can you move? And he doesn't move. Can you move? He doesn't move. Can you move? He says, no. Justin gets out of the car, and they get into it. And Justin, I can tell you, Justin definitely went after this guy. So what you don't know, maybe, is that an hour before they went to the movie, Justin was sparring with Mike Tyson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he was feeling a little bit pumped up, maybe?
That's what I'm thinking. The testosterone's flowing, right? And so he, like, loses it a little bit. Now, the photographer was a jerk, obviously, for not moving. And,
yeah, let me ask you about that, Harvey, because you have covered thousands of encounters between celebrities and the paparazzi. What are you supposed to do if you're trying to pull your car out on the street and there's some dude who's standing in front of you and you can't move? What are you supposed to do if you're the celebrity?
Look, he was a jerk. This guy was a jerk.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, at a point, you know, you're not supposed to technically, you're not supposed to hit him or anything like that. But, I mean, what I would do is shame the guy. And I would just, like, I would try to get the crowd riled up and just say, hey, isn't it interesting that I'm trying to have a good relationship and this guy won't move? And just get the crowd.
Is there a crowd of people standing around watching this whole thing?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, this is great. This is the best part. So there are witnesses who say that a lawyer walked up to this photographer afterwards and said, hey, dude, you can make a lot of money off of this, so call 911 right now and get an ambulance. And then I want you to, and then you should go file a police report. So the guy gives him this kind of on-the-street legal advice on what to do, and the guy calls 911, gets an ambulance, goes to the hospital, goes, files a police report. So Justin's now a suspect in a battery case because of this guy.
Look, I wonder if this guy wasn't planning it from the very beginning.
Well, but, you know, there are photographers out there that think that the best shot is when you incite people, which is crazy because we would never get, we would never buy video from anybody. I mean, because it's really awful.
Yeah, they're just baiting.
There are photographers out there who do that, and they try and incite, and then they get that video.
Sure. Yeah, it's a way better picture to get Sean Penn swinging at you than it is Sean Penn just holding up his hand. Absolutely.
Except, you know, there are a lot of people that just would not play it. And then there are some of these entertainment shows, it's great. They say, oh, look how awful it is that they're doing this and just how terrible it is that but you know what? That entertainment show bought the video.
No, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, did you put the picture up of Justin Bieber kind of putting himself back together? He had that shoe off and the hat was gone and everything like that. Would you use a picture like that?
Yes. Absolutely.
Because that's not the fight.
It's not the fight. But the thing about this is that this was, you know, right now it's a criminal case. I mean, it's kind of changed. It's not just a photographer. It's a criminal case. I am told that the shoe just came off in the scuffle. It's not like, you know, he didn't, like, throw the shoe at him or anything like that.
Is there any possibility, based on the witnesses that were there and what they're saying, Harvey, that Justin Bieber really hurt this guy? This 30-year-old big buff guy really got hurt by flyweight Justin Bieber, who looks like he weighs about 110 pounds?
I mean, look, you don't have to technically get hurt for it to be a battery. And, I mean, I would bet, you know, unless the city attorney in this one is just a little crazy, I can't imagine
this just goes
charged. I can't. It's totally going to go away.
And I hope this photographer is embarrassed for the rest of his life. Ralph had a great line earlier. He was saying that the photographer taking pictures of Justin, the flash alone should have knocked Justin Bieber down. There shouldn't have been any fight. You know what I mean? But again, I say, and this isn't to defend Justin, but this is to defend everybody in this situation who gets these photographers in their face everywhere they go every single day. What are you supposed to do? You can't really get up and just hit a guy for blocking your car. But what are you supposed to do if somebody's impeding your progress?
Most of them will move out of the way because they're in it over a period of time, and they don't want to get a reputation where a celebrity sees them and they say, oh, I hate that guy.
Right.
Yeah. Most of them will play ball and they'll move out of the way. But this guy was just a jerk.
All right, last question on this. Since Justin's out of the country now, I guess he's off doing promotion.
He's in Norway,
for the new record, right. What's the police going to do? They're not going to go after him. They're just going to wait till he comes back, and then at some point at his convenience, they'll send an officer over for an interview or what?
Well, yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to sit for an interview, but they can interview him. And you know, I'm just telling you, this is going to go nowhere.
Absolutely. It sounds like a hilarious story, though, and I'm with you, man. You never admit it if you get beat up by Justin Bieber.
Ever,
you just don't.
Ever, ever.
I can't wait to watch you on TMZ today. I want to see these welts all over your face, Harvey. It sounds like you had a hell of a weekend. I appreciate that you're
really
still standing and we're able to talk to us on the phone today. Have a great week, my friend.
See you guys.
Bye. A disease, a deadly citrus disease called Huanglongbing was recently found in Los Angeles County. Learn how to protect your citrus trees from this devastating disease and the pest that carries it, the Asian citrus psyllid, by visiting CaliforniaCitrusThreat.org.
I am Huanglongbing. I will kill your oranges.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Lisa, are you just making up sponsors now?
Maybe
my kung fu is much stronger than yours.
Maybe
I am Huanglongbing.
Huanglongbing.
All your kumquats.
Kumquat is one of the Kardashian girls, though, Ralph.
That's right. And Kleenex.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up after the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Andre Ethier. You know, I get a little bit nervous about the baseball players. You know that, Ralph. These are tough interviews for me because I love them so.
I know.
And he is one of the best.
Love the sport.
All-star, Gold Glove winner, Andre Ethier, one of the nice guys in the league, too. So we'll talk to him coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Not for nothing. Not that I'm a big baseball fan, but if I'm not mistaken, I think the Dodgers have the best record in the in Major League Baseball.
Yes. Yeah. They're doing everything right now.
Pretty strong. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? Since it was a long box office weekend, Men in Black 3 did very well for itself, $70 million worth.
Yeah.
Anybody bothered to see it this weekend?
Mm-mm.
I wish Kevin was here. I know he saw it.
Trying to catch up.
I don't know that he saw it, but I know he saw it. One of those things, you know.
He doesn't miss many.
I was busy in New York this weekend, or else I would have gone if I had the chance. I was busy seeing a Broadway show.
What?
It was very much a Lisa moment.
What'd you see?
I went to see a comedy from England called One Man, Two Governors, and it's a hilarious, slapsticky kind of Benny Hill broad farce. It takes place in the early 1960s in London, and it's a very, very funny show. So I was able to check that out, and it was an entertaining weekend. The rest of the time, I just was face down in something that was filled with alcohol. Because
sounds
the
like
bars there are open till 4, and you don't really need that, and yet I took full advantage of it. And I think my voice and demeanor belie my weekend.
But New York in the spring, pretty fun, right?
The best. It's an amazing city. The weather couldn't have been more beautiful. And it was one of those great things where I was at, my buddy's in this show on Broadway, so I went to see it and saw him and was hanging out with him. And then we went to this place, like this actors hang out to sing karaoke till all hours in the morning. And next thing you know, I'm like singing next to Rory from Doctor Who. We were doing like a duet. It was one of those weekends in New York where just everything kind of happens. It's magical. Good stuff. The Avengers was number 2 at the box office, $48.5 million made it number 2. Battleship, The Dictator, and Chernobyl Diaries rounding out the top 5. Then Dark Shadows, What to Expect When You're Expecting, Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, The Hunger Games, and Think Like a Man. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. While we're talking about movies, Battleship was promoted at the time with being Rihanna's acting debut. She was famous in interviews saying how she insisted the director treat her not like a star, but just like a professional actor, because this was her debut and she wanted to show she could act. Well, the very funny website Vulture.com has gone to the trouble of getting all of her lines from Battleship, all 68 of them, and posting them online so you can read for yourself the kind of dialogue that she had to work with as a professional actor. Many of them lines like, shut up, shut up. Weird, man. I don't know. Nothing, sir. Whiskey 2-5. Tango 1-9. It goes on and on and on until you realize the majority of her lines were one word or screaming. Or things like, mahalo, mother effer.
That's the best. That's the line she'll be remembered for,
yeah,
right there.
That's the famous one, yeah. So, a very funny article if you want to check that out on vulture.com. Lady Gaga had to pull the plug on her show in Jakarta this weekend after the hardline Muslim religious groups said they would do whatever it took to prevent her from even getting off her plane in Indonesia.
Really?
Yes. A group called the Islamic Defenders Front. Just by the name of that group, you don't want to mess with them. You don't want to mess with the Islamic Defenders
Front. Just fly right on by.
Yeah. They called her concert the Devil's Messenger. They called her the Devil's Messenger. And said they would do whatever it took to keep her from worshiping the devil.
Yeah, that sounds bad. Those people sound like they mean business, too.
The show had sold more than 50,000 tickets.
I was just thinking, like, you know what? If you're not going to let her land, why don't you mention that when the tickets go on sale?
Well, they did. They've been very vocal.
Very vocal?
About preventing her from performing for some time. But Lady Gaga's management has been confronted with this in countries all over, either the hardcore Christians or the Muslims. Somebody's up in arms when she shows up because she puts on a very sort of irreverent and controversial show, yeah. So, but they've been just going full steam ahead and just going, in spite of that, they've been going forward and doing the show. This time they decided not to do the show. So she did not perform in Jakarta, which probably is smart.
Wise. Yeah.
Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher say they're not reconciling. Well, we didn't think they were, so stop it. And actually, there were rumors in the tabloids that because they have yet, either of them has yet to file for divorce, that they are reconciling. But Demi Moore, of course, took to Twitter. Nothing happened unless it's tweeted. You have to laugh at the media's need to twist and take tweets out of context so they can create fictitious stories to sell to the public. So not getting back together, she is claiming.
When is your friend Kevin Smith going to leave his wife and make his play for Demi Moore, who he seems to be desperately in love with, Ralph?
He does love Demi, but...
He sure does.
I don't think he's ever going to leave Jen. He's found one woman that will have him, and I think that's good enough for him. And Lizzie Lohan! You know, if you look at that beautiful, deep, dark, savage tan that Lindsay Lohan has, that doesn't come cheap. Wait a minute, she's not that tan. But apparently she has rung up quite a tab at a tanning salon. It is $40,000 worth of tanning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she owes a tanning salon $40,000.
Are you kidding me?
She has not ponied up a penny of it.
How much does tanning cost when you go in for one of those treatments? Does anyone know?
I don't know.
I mean, can't you buy like a package of 6 for $100 or something?
I think so.
I'm just trying to figure out how many tanning appointments it would take to cost $40,000.
Now, if it was the spray-on, it would be more, but
still $40,000 worth of tan.
And who gives Lindsay that kind of credit?
Yeah,
no, I wouldn't. I know better.
Can't keep a job, right?
I think a lot of celebrities, though, get away with that crap just because they're celebrities.
They say
people
Lindsay comes
they're
here.
Good for it.
Right.
The owner of the tanning salon said they want to move the case to California so they can try to attach her assets and settle the debt because she has yet to pay any of the money that she owes the tanning salon.
Oh,
so
she's a prize.
Wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays. Danny Elfman is 59 years old today. LaToya Jackson turns 56. Annette Bening, not only a very talented actress, but a wife to legendary film star Warren Beatty. She is 54 years old. Rupert Everett, the British actor, is 53 years old. Melissa Etheridge turns 51. Noel Gallagher of Oasis is 45. Scary Spice, Melanie Brown from the Spice Girls, is 37, as is Daniel Tosh. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Green Day on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Let's talk baseball.
Dodgers! Dodgers! Dodgers!
Andre Ethier, number 16, right fielder for the Los Angeles Dodgers, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Andre, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, guys. Well, thanks for having me back.
Of course. Great to have you. Hey, I thought I saw you on the news this week. Do you have a Memorial Day tradition? Is there some place you go on Memorial Day that I didn't know about until this week?
No, I don't think that was me, other than the ballpark. That's my
really?
Tradition. I show up to the ballpark every Memorial Day, it seems like.
I saw a guy in an Ethier jersey serving up food to homeless people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess you could say that's my tradition. It happens, I guess, stands to be around Memorial Day every year, and it kind of, I guess, is, you know, our version of a barbecue and, you know, a thing that we give, you know, an opportunity for some, you know, people down at, you know, some homeless shelters down there in Skid Row to have an opportunity and have their barbecue and their, you know, their summer kickoff.
Ah, that is super nice. Look, you're a young, successful, rich, millionaire athlete. You forget about the little people when you get to this point, Andre. What's wrong with you, man?
It's just something where, you know, my first couple of years here in L.A., I actually lived downtown and had a chance to, you know, sometimes explore there late at night after a game and see how, you know, a lot of people, you know, were in need and affected by a, you know, not necessarily always having means and stuff to, you know, get by, and something where I saw was an area that I could help out. And
yeah,
obviously us being so close, Dodger Stadium down there, and I kind of started making visits. And then obviously with my partnership with Farmer John, it was hand in hand, and they started volunteering and saying, hey, we have 100,000 pounds of, you know, of products we could donate to those places down there. And I said, okay, let's do that. And you know, let's take it a step further. Let's even have a barbecue and set up some kind of you know, little
awesome
thing where these guys have something to go on, and you know, it kind of took off from there.
That's awesome. Of course, I'm teasing. Of course, it's magnificent that you do that. I love that. And the Dodgers have always been such great neighbors to the community. Let's talk about what a difference it must be. I know when we would talk to you guys last year, everybody was always very professional. Players on the team would say, oh, no, we're keeping all that off-the-field stuff out of our heads. We're not spending much time worrying about the, you know, ownership change or the divorce or anything like that. But what a relief it must be to have these new owners in that seem to be so good for the club and seem to be such a good fit. It must just feel great to be out there with all that bad stuff behind you as a team, right?
Of course. I mean, it would be like that for anyone in any work environment. If you don't know what's going on up top and don't know whether, you know, what direction the organization's heading in, it's kind of tough to sit there and just focus on what you're doing. But, you know, these new guys who came in are, you know, have been, more than proactive. I mean, the day they took over, you know, there's already changes with, you know, things being renovated, things being taken care of in the stadium. And obviously their, main thing is, you know, they reiterate every time we get a chance to see them is if you guys need anything, just don't hesitate to ask. And, you know, we're going to make this place the best organization, the best team it can be and should be. So
that's
awesome.
That's
comforting and reassuring to hear. And I think the fans should be excited about that because, you know, obviously they stuck with us, you know, through good and bad times. And I think good times are definitely ahead of us, you know, coming up here pretty soon.
You guys are all professional athletes, but do you even get a little bit starstruck when you see Magic Johnson sitting over there in the owner's box?
Of course, I grew up, you know, seeing him play at the end of his career and, getting a chance to sit there. And I mean, you look on the back of his basketball card and there's some pretty impressive numbers and pretty impressive career he had. And to think that, he's one of the guys calling the shots and now, obviously one of the fans of the team and sits there and cheers you on. It's a pretty neat experience to have him sit there, you know, five steps away from you and on deck circle, you know, rooting you on and telling you to go up there and get a big hit. So
yeah,
it's kind of nice and neat to be a part of. And obviously, it's only a place like L.A. where you can get something like that happening.
Sure. This is the voice of Andre Ethier here on the Kevin Bean Show from the Los Angeles Dodgers. A lot of stuff going on with the team right now. Not only first place in the NL West, which is where you want to be, but the best record in all of baseball. How do you explain why is it going so great for you? I mean, obviously you got contributors coming from everywhere. I guess that's key. It's not like you're. It's not like the whole team's on one guy's back this year, right?
No, not at all. And I think that's the key. You know, sometimes you can have a team and look and say, hey. You know, Matt Kemp's our big guy. Let's just sit here and wait and see what he does, and we'll ride his coattails. And if he goes, we go. But I don't think that's the attitude anyone take. Everyone's taking that we have a job and everyone has a role. All 25 guys in this roster have a job to do, and we're going to figure out how we can do our job the best that day. And we'll pitch in and contribute whenever, however we can. And you know, the guys who are expected to do stuff every time, they better keep doing it. And you know, the guys who are expected to contribute most of the time, then you know, same thing. And I think that's just everyone bought into that. When you have 25 guys buying into it, rather than you know, 14, 15, you have a successful team. I think
sure.
That's what, you know, even more the case. And then I think you got to give a lot of credit to those young guys who came up in the minor leagues and didn't have this team skip a beat just because they were willing to come up here and step up. And, you know, when Maddie was down, when Juan was down, when Jerry Harrison was down, they just stepped right in and, you know, helped out. Obviously, we had a big void and we were missing those guys, but it didn't seem like it when those guys, you know, were out and we had those other guys found in.
Yeah, it's exciting times. What's it like for you, Andre, when you're I guess you're leading the National League in RBIs, and then coach says, we're going to rest you for a couple of days here. We want to save some for the long season ahead. Does that bug you when they make you sit?
It wasn't even made me sit. It was something where it was discussed before the season. It was discussed. He was even saying 6 or 7 days possibly. This was in spring when we sat down and just had, you know, how we want to play the season and out. And our ideal situation, obviously, is, you know, for ahead in first place. And we have the opportunity to do this, obviously, for neck and neck. And we're in the last 2 months of the season. We're not taking days off. And he just said,
yeah,
this is as good as opportunity as any there leaving Arizona. And getting an opportunity just to have an extra day, and obviously we know we're ahead. We're not sitting here, you know, being complacent and being happy with where we're at. We know it's a long season, but at the same time, you know, we got to stay fresh and make sure we're there when it comes to July and August, when those hot dog days start sneaking up on us.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is a long season. I mean, just being out in the sun every day for 4 hours, I would imagine, even if you weren't a professional athlete playing a sport, I mean, that's a long-ass summer. I bet you do appreciate a chance to sit down once in a while and pace yourself. That makes a lot of sense. Hey, Dave, King of Mexico, you're Dodgers fan number one here. You had a question for Andre, too.
Yeah, what's it like with these young outfielders coming out? You know, what have you done to help them, you know, succeed?
I think it's just, you got to go out there and you got to take it, man. That's something I've noticed and realized over the years of when I came up and had older veteran guys. Just be welcoming. Don't be standoffish to them. And most of all, you just gotta pump them up and let them know that they're, you know, good players and they're there. Obviously, they're there for a reason because they're able to do it. And you know, when they have questions to be asked, answer it. And most of all, just you know, try to build up their confidence and let them know because obviously they have the skills to be there. You know, if they didn't, then they wouldn't be there. But, you know, just be a welcoming, you know, service to them and just be someone who can be there if they're going through good or bad times. And that's the biggest thing you can do for your young guys who are coming up in the league.
Even though you're a veteran, Andre, you've been around for a few years, been playing baseball since you were a little kid. It still has to sometimes not seem real when you get in your car and drive to freaking Dodger Stadium to work. I can't even imagine what that job must be like in real life.
Yeah,
a dream come true, right? I mean, what's better than that?
You're exactly. When you're a little kid, you dream about it every day. And, you know, something I wanted so bad when I was a little kid. Now I'm 30 years old and I'm still doing it. And like I said, I can't believe I'm a 30-year-old man getting a chance to pack up in my car every day and drive. And all of a sudden I pull on Elysian Park there and I'm staring at Dodger Stadium. And I go put on a uniform, a glorified costume for all get's sakes, and you know, go to stand out there and play baseball, which is you know, something unbelievable. And I think it's something you know, I've really realized you do not realize how far and few between these you know, these opportunity chances are to keep putting on that uniform, you know, have become. And it's something where I think a lot of guys in that locker room, including me, realize that you know, we have time now to make the most of it. And, you know, I think that's the biggest part about it.
Yeah, it's a dream come true. Hey, one more thing before you go, because I know the Freeway series is coming up, and that's such a blast. I'm no huge fan of Interleague Baseball, but I know a lot of people are, especially if you've got friends who are down in Orange County or something, and you're always ribbing each other about who's better, Dodgers, Angels. But throughout the course of the season, you probably don't even think that much about the Angels or any of the American League teams. I mean, that's just not who you focus on, right? I mean, it's got to just be kind of a novelty when you end up playing them, right?
Yeah, you don't focus on them in competition. You obviously are focusing on them, you know, just seeing who's in the top of standings over there. You know, the longer you play in the game, the more you know guys, and the more you know guys in other teams, and you just want to follow them and see them and see how the guys are doing. But other than that, you're not sitting there, you know, wondering if they're catching up on you or not. But it's something where I think it's fun for the player, in the stance that you get to see some different parks and different players, and obviously the same way for the fans. They get to see a lot of different teams come in and players they probably would never have a chance to see if, unless there's a World Series or something like that.
That's so right.
I think it's a good opportunity to see, you know, those players out there and get a chance to see them other than just see them on highlights or TV or stuff like that. So, it's good for the fans like that. I think, baseball's done a great job of, I think it's making it interesting and, giving the matchups that the fans want to see in those cities. And, it's something where, I'm knocking off all my, my Major League Baseball, stadiums that I've played in by doing it.
Dodger Stadium is where the Freeway Series is going to be Monday, June 11th through Wednesday, June 13th with the Angels. And of course, you got the Brewers in town this week. Andre, it's always great when you can spend a few minutes. It's so exciting being a baseball fan and being a Dodgers fan, watching what you guys are doing, how much fun you're having out there. And just keep doing what you're doing, man. And thank you for joining us on the Kevin
Dunn Show. All right. Thanks a lot. And I was supposed to say, don't forget to go on Facebook for this big Freeway Series coming up. We have a little contest going that you can win to come on the field with me and have a chance to talk baseball for 15, 20 minutes, and that's on Farmer John's Facebook page if you go on there. And,
well done.
Get on there. So I appreciate if you guys do that, and thanks a lot for having me on.
You bet, Andre. Take care, man.
All right. Thanks.
Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. One final look at the showbiz beat. Ralph Garman joins us. What's going on, Ralph?
It's Tuesday, but it feels like a Monday because of the long holiday weekend, and we're going to treat it like that. We're going to take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Men in Black 3, in its debut, made $70 million.
Nice.
Made it number one at the box office this weekend. Finally, somebody knocked off the Avengers, although the Avengers did fall to second place. They did very well for themselves, $48.5 million. It's a lot of money. It'd be a big opening weekend for most films. Battleship was third with $13.3 million. The Dictator, Chernobyl Diaries, Dark Shadows, What to Expect When You're Expecting, Best Exotic, Marigold Hotel, The Hunger Games, and Think Like a Man, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. New CDs and DVDs are in stores today because it is Tuesday. The new Regina Spektor CD, What We Saw from the Cheap Seats, is available today. Magic Hour by Scissor Sisters. Here by Edward Sharp, The Magnetic Zeros, Nocturnicate by the Mars Volta, and Roses by the Cranberries. I think the Mars Volta wins with Nocturnicate, the coolest name.
It's a great
for
name.
A new CD. On DVD, here's what you can pick up today in the stores or online. Up All Night, the live tour starring One Direction. Yes!
Woo-hoo! They're cashing in a hurry, right?
They better.
they're afraid if they wait another 6 months, people may not be interested anymore.
They start growing some pubes. They're out of fashion, in my opinion.
Yeah. Has anyone heard any of these songs from One Direction? I know they're the biggest band in the world, but have you heard them yet?
I've heard that Your Beautiful song. I've heard that.
How is it?
It's, the best way I can describe it is I think I played it for the first time when Patton Oswalt and I did Hollywood Babylon together, and he said, that's not a song, that's a Chili's commercial. And that's what it sounds like. It sounds like a jingle. It sounds like a commercial jingle. It is just the most soulless sort of...
Like made to factory kind of song?
Completely prefabbed sort of pop music you've ever heard.
Everybody says it sounds like I Want It My Way or whatever that Backstreet Boys song was. Yeah. Like it's the exact same song.
A lot like that. Other DVs, Man on a Ledge with Sam Worthington and Elizabeth Banks. Goon starring Sean William Scott. Gone. We got Goon and Gone on the same day. Amanda Seyfried's suspense thriller. And we need to talk about Kevin with Tilda Swinton.
Yes,
and
we
John
do.
C. Reilly. Whatever happened to Kevin?
That guy used to be on the show?
Yeah.
Is he don't still know. On radio? Just, or just didn't come back one day. I don't know.
Gone to something else. Ariana Celeste got busted for domestic violence charges in Clark County, Nevada this weekend. She was in town for the UFC fight, but she did not end up working as the ring girl because she was busy being the behind bar girl. Dana White, the president of the UFC, says he's going to support her 100% until she gets fat or old. Whichever comes
she's
first.
She's on her own.
Yes, then she's on her own. Oh, let's see what else we have. Oh, this is interesting news, I think. Gordon Ramsay and Will Ferrell hurt in a charity soccer match.
What?
They were both in the UK doing a celebrity soccer game for UNICEF, and they were both forced from the game by injury.
What?
Gordon Ramsay had to be taken off the field in a stretcher.
What?
He collided with a guy named Teddy Sheringham, who apparently is a former All England forward, and they collided so hard he hurt his back so badly he couldn't get off the field on his own. Had to be carted off on a stretcher and given oxygen. Will limped off the field near the end of the game, reportedly in a lot of pain, and could not return. The charity match raised over $6 million for UNICEF. Nice. Gerard Butler, Mike Myers, Woody Harrelson, and Edward Norton also participated. Everyone else was uninjured, but Gordon and Will apparently hurt in this.
Oh, that was perfect execution.
Nothing good comes from soccer. I've been telling you people that for years. No one wants to listen.
I will say that most, not just most celebrities, most people aren't in the kind of shape necessary to run back and forth on a soccer field all day.
Absolutely. A pitch!
That's right, a pitch. Sorry.
Yeah. And Ridley Scott wants Harrison Ford to return for the Blade Runner sequel.
Yes, please.
He's talking about the new film. He says, I don't think it'll be Harry starring, but I've got to have him in it somewhere. That'd be amusing, Ridley Scott said.
Well, that'll make him feel good.
Sure, exactly how he terms it means.
What was the last time Harrison Ford was in a film, Ralph? It seems like he's really slowed down in recent years.
Cowboys and Aliens, I guess, last year, right?
Okay.
Cowboys and Aliens. Daniel Craig.
Yeah. Yep. There are a few and far between, though, these days.
He does about one a year, more or less. But I think you just feel that way because he moves slower in the films.
It maybe that's what it is, yeah.
It's less going on. Today's celebrity birthdays, Danny Elfman is 59 years old. Today's singer, LaToya Jackson, turns 56. Annette Bening, beautiful and talented Oscar-winning actress, 54 years old today. Rupert Everett is 53. Didn't you say he's in Hysteria, Bean, that new movie?
That's right. That's
which is getting great reviews, by the way.
Yeah.
He's not that interested in relieving women in their sexual frustrations.
What a surprise.
Rupert Everett.
Melissa Etheridge is 51. Noel Gallagher from Oasis turns 45 years old today. Melanie Brown, Scary Spice of the Spice Girls, is 37. Daniel Tosh, comedian. And I think new episode of Tosh 2.0. Or Tosh.0, rather, debuting tonight on Comedy Central as well. He is 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We do expect K-Rock's Kevin will be joining us tomorrow for the show. And we got a lot of good stuff coming up, including our friend the Nerdist himself, Chris Hardwick, stopping on by tomorrow. We're also going to be talking to Mac Lethal. Have you guys seen this dude's videos?
Is he the speed rapper?
Yes.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's the speed rapper. He's unbelievable. Like, how is he not a huge rap star?
I don't know.
He's got unbelievable skills. He just makes these little YouTube videos. We'll find out what his deal is. We've got him on the program. Apparently, the King of Mexico was involved in a jet ski accident over the weekend.
Oh, I don't know much about jet ski.
Not my fault.
He was borrowing somebody else's jet ski out in Laughlin and apparently destroyed it.
Well, if destroyed it means sank it.
Yes. Oh, yes. My God.
Sank it. Yes.
I don't know how you sink a jet ski. Oh. I always thought they were pretty much unsinkable.
They float, right?
Yeah. They are fairly well built for the water, right? Yeah. So we're going to find out what happened in that accident, and then we're going to take your calls on you destroyed someone else's property. I mean, that is like the worst thing, to borrow somebody's car and wreck it or something.
Remember
like
how
that.
You totaled Marty's truck? Remember that?
Yes. Yeah. I did some damage on a car that had about 200 miles on it, yeah. Also, Kevin promises that he's bringing in highlights, and I'm not joking about this, of the College Fishing Championships. Apparently, he's obsessed with that. It's his new favorite show, College Fishing Championships. We've got highlights of that. And we'll continue to build up to the Freeway Series happening next month. This time from the Los Angeles Angels, we'll talk to pitcher Dan Herron. All of that tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous Kevin.